Jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. The relentless Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, we're your host, Sean Coleman, myself, Mark King. What's going on, Sean?
What's going on, man? How are you tonight?
I'm good. Fell through the roof earlier today. Actually, earlier this evening, fell through the ceiling, but I'm good. And no video of it exists of my single leg hanging, dangling through the roof at all. So that doesn't exist. So other than that, I'm doing great. I made another trick shot today, a really long one. So all in all, pretty good day. So,
Mark, my guess is you just need to make a YouTube show. You remember, you know, Tim the Toolman Taylor, Home Improvement Tool Time.
Of course.
You know, he was typically a klutz. He was typically pretty prone to accidents. I don't know what it would be, like home embarrassment for you maybe, but don't fall off your roof, man. I mean, you know, I kind of think highly of you, and I just don't want you to get hurt. I know your family doesn't want you to get hurt.
Listen.
I wouldn't risk it.
I've had three different homes over the course of 11 years. And this is the first time I've ever fell. I don't know. It's the first time I've ever come through the ceiling in any capacity. So I call that pretty good. And I think that's like just a rite of passage. My dad did that when I was little. I remember that happening. So I think that's like a rite of passage as a dad. At a certain point, you fall through the ceiling. That's like just something that you do in life. And so I feel like I've just finally, you know, got it over with. And now I'm moving on with my life.
Have you ever been a homeowner and you had a pool in your backyard and you're having some people over and one of your buddies just out of the blue walked off the pool deck face first and hit and fell on the ground?
That's
the true sign you've been a homeowner for too long.
You know, that story sounds familiar. I think the people should hear at some point, not tonight, but at some point we'll tell you the story of the time Sean Coleman fell off my deck at a fantasy football draft. That's a good one. Let's get into the show today. We're going to talk about this week, our favorite moments from this year, from this current season that we're in, because I guess the season's still technically going on. We're going to talk about our favorite moments from this season, as well as I think maybe next week we'll go and get into the draft. Why don't you explain the draft? If you follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz, make sure you go and do that. There was a poll up today, which we could talk about the poll as well, some of the results of it. But also, we're going to be doing these polls every day, so go make sure you go check out the Twitter handle, vote in these polls. Why don't you explain the draft thing a little bit better? That way, people know what we got going on. Maybe we'll probably get into that maybe next week.
We may actually wait a couple of weeks just to, you know, get enough data, I guess you could say, for the thing. But the whole idea was, you know, me and, you know, again, you know, it's an absolute privilege to be on the show now. And so me and Mark, you know, we're going to throw ideas off each other. But I came up with the idea of, you know, it's the NFL draft week. Now you typically would see the lead up to the NBA draft. You know, it's draft season. You know, within, you know, about a 6-week time frame or a 2-month time frame, you see the NHL, NBA, NFL, and MLB draft all this time around. It's a very fun time of the year for me personally. I keep up with all that. I listen to podcasts on all the time. Anywho, but what I'm getting at is that when it comes to this time of year with the fact that we don't have sports, you know, I figured that it might be a fun idea to do a mock draft, a mock NBA draft, not like 32 picks, maybe 20 or so. But basically, we would do it where our player pool would be the Grizzlies, the Grizzlies players, like players that have played for Memphis. I'm not talking about Vince Carter and AI. I'm talking about guys that legitimately have had, you know, they started their career with Memphis, were drafted by Memphis, had a significant stint of their career with Memphis. And so I put the poll out there today just to throw the interest out there. And it was a very, I made sure it was an interesting one. We'll get into next week, you know, why I, or when we do the draft, you know, why I, you know, I put the names in there. But the whole idea is that, you know, for each day, I'm going to bring up, you know, that spot in the draft, and I'm going to give, you know, four options and see who people would pick. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how people feel about the careers of certain Grizzlies and what they feel may be in store for present Grizzlies. So I think that it's going to be a fun poll. And then in a couple of weeks, you know, we'll reveal, you know, kind of what the fans feel about, you know, if they were in charge of this, you know, how they would do it. And then me and Mark will do our own mock drafts. You know, we may get a couple of guests on the show. I know that there have been a couple of, you know, folks who, you know, a lot of Grizzlies fans know on Twitter who have interacted with it, gave their opinion. But it's just a fun, you know, exercise. We could spend a whole week talking about it. So probably, you know, towards the beginning of May or something along those lines, you know, we'll get into, you know, a detailed discussion about the concept. And, you know, it'll reveal how we feel about, you know, how the current talents on the Grizzlies team stack up against the past talents, you know, that have stood out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. And again, like Sean mentioned, we're each going to draft our own team. So I'll have a team based on our player pool of Grizzlies, whatever we come up with that we think is fitting. Again, like I mentioned, no AI, things like that. That doesn't count. But I'm going to have a team. Sean's going to have a team. And maybe we'll even just include, you know, the people's team. We'll see how all of our teams kind of stack up against each other. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Because in any fantasy draft, I'm looking forward to. So I think it'll be fun to do. Do you want to talk about the poll each? I mean, we want to talk about the poll you put up today? I mean, real quick?
Yeah, we could talk about it. So okay. Basically, the reason I put that poll up, because I have said it before on the show, and I've said it in my writing. I've said it, you know, when I was, you know, podcasting through GBB. I feel that John Morant is the best natural talent that has ever played for the Grizzlies, ever been drafted by the Grizzlies. I feel that Jaren Jackson Jr. is the second most natural talent. However, I feel that at this point in time, knowing what I know right now, I would draft Pau Gasol first. So the reason I bring all that up is because that was the purpose of, you know, the poll question. Recently, there have been a lot of discussion about who the greatest Grizzly of all time is. And, you know, there were different reasons. There are different reasons as to why you would, you know, choose the greatest Grizzly. Well, this poll question was, if you had the number one draft pick, if you were starting a franchise right now and you had your player pool was all the players that have ever played for the Grizzlies, I put the four out there who I think people would identify as the four, you know, most likely to be chosen. And I put John Morant out there, and I expected the results that are coming. I expected the results to be that we've never experienced this type of a start to a career. Even when Pau Gasol was doing what he was doing, we've never experienced this. And I know that Pau Gasol was two decades ago, so it's kind of unfair. But, you know, I think, you know, there was a gentleman on Twitter by the name of Chase. He go at Deep Fried Couch. I don't know if you – I think you know him better than I do.
Chase was started with me over at Grizzly Bear Blues back in the day. He used to be a writer over there.
Him and Matt Herdlicka and Andrew
Back in the good old days.
there are some guys out there who typically talk to each other, give wonderful insight. But you know, he brought up a good point. You know, the whole idea was, you know what you've got in Powell, Mark, and Zach, and you've got some wonderful things. You don't know what you have in Job, but from what you've seen, there is indications that it could be even better than what you've got in the other three that I mentioned. And Chase went out and just, you know, put it on the line. You know, he knows that we know that none of those three guys can lead us to a championship. Can Ja? You know, I don't know. He also brought up the point, you know, what era are we in? And this is more of a guard-oriented era, so Ja would make sense. But the whole idea is this, is that, you know, it's great how you feel. It's great who you love and all this different stuff. But in terms of boiling it down to basketball itself and what leads to wins, what talent in Grizzlies history would you vote for? And I know that people are going to say Pau Gasol, you know, should be the rightful answer. But I think that people are not wrong when they say John Morant. So that was the whole, and the whole thing is just to get debate going. Each day I'm going to, like I'll say, so the first pick's Ja Morant, the second pick, and I'll add a name in the spot that, you know, was chosen. So like tomorrow, for instance, I'll add another name to the Gasol brothers and Randolph, and we'll just keep going and we'll get to the top 10 or 15. And it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, how people view the different talents, you know, that have been drafted. Pau Gasol should be in the top two, no doubt, no matter how you feel. I'll be interested to see if he's picked tomorrow.
I will too. And I think that you brought up a good point. It was two decades ago. So it is a very different time. Yeah. And here is the poll question for everybody's reference. I don't think you said that, but if you haven't seen it already, the question is, like you mentioned, we're basically redrafting the Grizzlies. And this was for the number one pick. And so if you had the first pick in the NBA draft and it was a player that you had played 10 more games for Memphis was kind of the criteria, but we are redrafting the Grizzlies that have all the Grizzlies players that have played, kind of redrafting his all-time Grizzlies list. And right now it's Ja Morant at 62% and Pau Gasol coming in second. So if you want to vote, there's still some time left. There'll be time left when this podcast comes out tomorrow. So go vote. And then, like Sean mentioned, he'll put out another poll tomorrow afternoon for the second pick. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see what everybody kind of thinks about Mark and Zach. I'm curious to see how far Mark's going to fall. I don't know how far. I mean, I would assume tomorrow's list will include Mike Conley. So I think people like Mike over Mark. So I will be interested to see how I think people are so jaded by Mark. We've had this conversation before on our show, I think. And so I think people are just jaded by Mark himself and the way he kind of everything kind of ended with him and, you know, his attitude. I think people that comes across is kind of just poo-poo-y sometime. He just doesn't really, you know, it seems like he doesn't care. And reality is he cares too much, you know, like he cares so much that it's frustrating to him when he didn't ever got what he needed or thought he deserved or thought he needed in a team. So I'll be interested to see how far Mark falls. I don't think he should fall that far, but you know, I don't know if Powell will be number two or not, but we'll see. Again, if you're not already following the show on Twitter, at Locked On Grizz is the show handle. Go follow the show on Twitter so you can participate in the polls. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back and we will talk about our favorite moments from this season, from the current season, coming up next. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you want delivered fast. And that's where Postmates comes in. Sean, I don't know about you, Sean, but I've used Postmates quite often so far in this quarantine time. It is fantastic. So if you're like myself, if you're like Sean, you love eating out, especially when you're supporting local businesses, go choose Postmates. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners, Locked On Grizzlies listeners, $100 of free delivery credit for the first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Welcome back to the show. Talking our favorite moments from this year's Grizzlies team. Sean, what's our first moment? I know that we had some people chime in on their moments as well. So if you guys have a favorite moment, please keep sending those to us. We'll talk about those this week at King_producer. The show is at Locked On Grizz. Sean's handle, he'll say here in a second. So send those highlights to us. Again, be form of a picture, a highlight, just a description. Send those to us, and we'll talk about this throughout the week. But Sean, what's the first highlight we're going to talk about tonight?
Well, I think it's kind of unfair to start out with probably what would be the most iconic moment of the season, but it's hard to argue against this one, and that is Ja Morant's performance against the Nets. Now, Mark, I'll let you kind of describe this, and then I'll get into my opinion of it, but, you know, yeah, that's the one that stands out, not only for the first iconic image of Ja Morant, but the backstory that got to that moment and what occurred after. So, you know, yeah, I think that the first moment actually was basically Ja Morant's coming out party as truly showing that he is on the level. He has superstar potential.
Yeah, I think that Derek sent us this one. for a highlight moment to talk about. But yeah, the block on Kyrie Irving, that was that game. That was the game where he had the little assist to Jay Crowder for the game-winning shot. So there was a lot that happened in this game, and I was looking up before we even started to pull up the box score just to kind of see what exactly, how many points everybody had, things like that. And I totally forgot that it was only the third game of the season for Ja Morant. He goes out 32 minutes, 13 for 22, 30 points. He had 9 assists in that game, 4 rebounds, did have 6 turnovers, but who cares? We're not counting that right now because it's our favorite moment. But just a fantastic game from Ja Morant. I mean, he went up against one of the best ball handlers, maybe the best ball handler in the league, in Kyrie Irving. And he went toe to toe with him, and just it was a game where I highlighted and I previewed it, and I was like, I don't think he's going to be able to handle, Kyrie Irving. I think he's going to get smoked. Defensively, I think it's going to be tough. And that was not even close to being accurate. He went 180 degrees different. He went toe to toe with Kyrie, and I thought was really, really impressive. And that was the game I was like, okay, all right, we got ourselves a guy here. Like, I mean, I knew it. I think everybody else knew it too, but that was, I think, the moment everybody collectively was like, okay, all right, this is going to be fun.
And the thing about it is that was the takeover moment. And I think that's what you want to see. That was the one thing when you looked at this rookie class coming into it, in 2019, going into the 19-20 season, how many of these rookies could take over? You know that Zion had the capability to, and you kind of had the idea, you knew Ja could do it based off what he did in the OVC at Murray State. Could he do it in the NBA? The block was great. The setting up of Jay Crowder to win the game was great. But the thing that, not necessarily forgotten, but, they were talking about, in like Zion's, third game, I think, when he came back from injury, how he scored like 18, 20 straight points in a 4-minute, period. Well, people don't remember in this game, Ja Morant scored 18 points to lead us back to tying the game in the fourth quarter. And then while he only scored 2 in overtime, he set up the game-winning play to make the win. So not only was he able to take over the game through his offense, through his scoring ability, which opened up the understanding of just how clutch of a closer he is, one of the best in the NBA this year, but he did it in multiple ways. He scored when he needed to. He set up his teammates when he needed to. And that's when you realize just how resourceful and just straightforward dominant Ja Morant could be if he was given the ball in the right moments.
This was the start of fourth quarter Ja. That's what this was too. I forgot about that as well. It's a good point, because this was the start of fourth quarter Ja, when we were like, for there was like a stretch there for like 2 weeks when it was like, okay, he'll just score all of his points in the fourth quarter, because he'd spent the entire three quarters or whatever first part of the game trying to get everybody else involved, trying to assist whoever other players, get them going, and then in the fourth quarter realizes that he needed to score the basketball. And so this was the start where, like, okay, this kid can take over a game whenever he needs to, whenever he can just turn it on, which I think is one of the most impressive things about him even to this day. Like, that's still thing that I just look at, I'm like, I love to watch, because he can just turn it on whenever he wants. And this was fourth quarter Ja Morant, and just that was the beginning of it. We were like, okay, this was impressive. This was also a game where before Dylan Brooks had his terrible slump of month and a half, he was actually scoring the basketball pretty well early in the season, 21 points, 3 for 6 from 3. Like, this was a game where he also played extremely, extremely well.
And that's the thing about it. And then we go 2 weeks later, after Ja took over in that fourth quarter, he again didn't have as dominant of a fourth quarter in the Hornets game, but Ja Morant making plays late in the fourth quarter. And then, with the game tied 117-117 in Charlotte, obviously it was one of the few games at the first of the season where the Grizzlies were playing down to their competition. We should have been ahead, but we weren't. We were tied. But Ja Morant, I call it the triumph in the trees. Ja Morant going to the basket and being able to score the point. And I'm not going to get too analytical here, but this kind of opened my eyes. This made it exciting for me. The reason why fourth quarter jaw is such an impressive and important part of the Grizzlies' present and future is because of this. Yeah, Mike Conley and Mark Gasol could sit there and do okay in the fourth quarter, but eventually teams would be able to lock in on it because nobody else was doing anything. But the two things that Ja Morant does by himself, he can attack you at the basket, whereas Mark Gasol and Mike Conley didn't really do that often. Ja can get to the basket, so you've got to respect that part of the game. And if that's the case, his passing ability opens up everybody else. Even if those other players aren't that good of an outside scorer themselves, he creates the space for them to score. So just by Ja having the talent that he has, the Grizzlies have a better fourth quarter arsenal of offense than they have had in years, and it's all because of one player. And being able to see this in the first month of his playing, that's what really opened the eyes to, you know, this kid is special.
Yeah, let's take another break. We're behind again. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. We'll just pick up right where we left off and get back. Welcome back to the show, talking our favorite moments from this season this year. And right before we took a break, you mentioned that Charlotte game a couple weeks into the season. That was what you alluded to when what'd you call it? Triumph inside the trees, or what did you call it?
Triumph in the trees.
I like that. You went, drove the lane, made that shot. That was an impressive game as kind of a highlighted moment of the season as well. But, you know, also Jaren Jackson Jr., that he was 4 for 6 from that game and from three. I mean, ridiculously shot the ball 67% that game from three, which is just insane. This was, again, earlier in the season where he was on an absolute tear from three, just shooting the ball lights out. And obviously he's continued that much throughout the season, but this was a huge game from Jaren Jackson Jr. Obviously the Hornets are terrible. Like, they should have never been in that situation, like you mentioned, but without Ja, without Jaren, I mean, it's just one of those games where you look at it and you'll go, man, the future is bright for the Grizzlies.
Well, and yeah, and so talking about Jaren Jackson Jr., it was a little bit later on. You know, the Grizzlies they had struggled, and then they went through that 2-week time stretch at the end of November in which they played like 7 straight playoff hopefuls, title contenders, whatever you want to call them. Well, then we got into the early part of December, and that's when we really started taking off, but you didn't know it at the time. Brandon Clark, Kyle Anderson, Jonas Valanciunas, Ja, all of them were experiencing, you know, injuries. So, of course, the Grizzlies are basically, you know, kind of, you know, not necessarily shorthanded, but they're without, you know, their best players being healthy. They take on the Milwaukee Bucks. And if you want to talk about Jaren's moment this year, like he had last year against the Brooklyn Nets, it was against, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks. And it was against Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Grizzlies wound up losing by 13. But, Mark, if you recall, Jaren had 43 points in that game, and for the first three quarters in which the Grizzlies were ahead, they went into the fourth quarter up by 5, but Jaren Jackson Jr. was able to match Giannis point by point. He had 43 that game, Giannis had 37, and in the game itself, Jaren was 9 of 15 from 3. And so it was the peak of him really evolving into the three-point shooter that, you know, the Grizzlies may not have had before.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, the Grizzlies – If he continues, I mean, that has to be a part of his game for the future. Like, he has to be a 3-point shooter. And if he is a prolific 3-point shooter like he has been this year, then that he will be pretty much unstoppable. But at the same time, there won't be a player like that the Grizzlies have had maybe ever. I mean, if you look like him and Ja Morant, and those are two players that, you know, like we said in the, like last week, like talent wise, I mean, there might not be better talented players than ever. Like, right now might be the most talented, like just pure talent team than they might have ever had. I know that there are a lot of other teams out there for the Grizzlies and they've had a lot of good players, but just pure raw talent, this might be one of the best. That Grizzlies Charlotte game, looking at the box score also, this was the time when Tyus Jones was playing like shit. Yeah. He had 0 points, and Marco Guderic was actually playing in these games. He had 17 points. That might be the most he ever had all season. Marco, and then he obviously couldn't, you know, he fell off the face of an earth and just couldn't defend worth anything, but that's beyond, you know, it's neither here nor there. But I think this might be the highest scoring game he had as a Grizzly. I'm going to look that up.
one of the other moments that I'll say from that early December time frame, and that will kind of, you know, stay on this the early part of the season for tonight, but also right around the time that Jaren, you know, was emerging, was getting into his hot streak. You know, you saw Gudurich, he was, you know, struggling. Tyus was struggling. So the Grizzlies really needed somebody to stand up. There were calls for Josh Jackson, but the guy who did was De'Anthony Melton. And his moment, you know, was against the Indiana Pacers in a loss, but he still got a solid run, his second pure solid run. He scored 16 points. And then, of course, you know, on the 16th of December against Miami, he was able to he was a plus 12, had 16 points on the night. Basically, he just showed that he could add depth, and he showed his ability on defense and offense. So that was the whole thing about these moments. The one thing that these moments have in common is that for three players, you know, Brandon Clark also had his first really good game where he scored 27 against Oklahoma City. But the thing about all these moments, the connecting point, is that you saw this young team coming together, and you saw the development that Taylor Jenkins was having on these young players all coming together to form the core, you know, that of course would launch, you know, from December on.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the arrival of De'Anthony Melton, I mean, it couldn't have come sooner, but it was impressive in its own right for sure. And, you know, I was the one yelling for Josh Jackson all along. I mean, I was probably one of the louder ones just because I thought it just didn't make sense what they were doing. And it never has. And so I was fortunate that he got out of the situation he was in and got it, you know, was able to showcase things that he was able to do. And that's another conversation for a different day. But the arrival of De'Anthony Melton could not have come sooner for the Grizzlies, because they really needed somebody that, you know, that spark off the bench. And he was one of the people that could provide it.
And the thing that I'll say is this, is that when you look at it, when you look at that early December timeframe, when Ja was coming into his own, yes, he was injured in early December, but he had established who he was. And then Jaren was able to take on the team. And that was the time, I think, when the Grizzlies also realized, you know, hey, you know, who cares what our expectations are? We know that we have the ability to be something special here. Why not be it sooner rather than later? And that's when you really realize not only was this team one with high offensive potential, a good source of highlights, but this was also the stretch run where this Grizzlies team truly showed that they arguably are the best offensive team in franchise history. In a future episode, you know, I'll get with Mark and we will show just how dominant offensively this team was compared to other teams in terms of statistics and things like that. But that's the other connection point, is just how good offensively this team became, even when they weren't playing with each other.
I totally agree. I think the offensive, and we've talked about this last week, we'll probably talk about this all the time, but the offense and what Taylor Jenkins has done is nothing short of impressive. I don't have anything else other than that for tonight's show, for tomorrow's show, whatever you want to. It'll be posted tomorrow, but I don't have anything else for tonight. Sean, do you got anything else?
I do, actually. I will tell you this. So depending on what's going to happen with this poll, in which we, you know, look who's going to be the first pick and who's going to be the second pick.
Yep.
Basically, three of the four options are going to remain, and then I'm going to add in another one. So by tomorrow's poll, you will have revealed, you know, basically who we think are the top five talents, you know, potentially that could be considered for the first two picks. Tomorrow's edition is not Mike Conley.
Oh.
It is not Mike Conley.
Really? For the second pick, there would not be a Mike Conley on there?
Yes.
That's impressive. I'm curious to see what it would be.
Yeah. Remember what I said. They were drafted and started their career with the Grizzlies. So you may have an idea of who that is now. Don't reveal it, Mark. But
I don't know. I won't reveal it because I don't even know.
Yeah. It will not be Mike Conley tomorrow.
Interesting. So Mike Conley will at best have a chance at the third slot for our redrafting of all the Grizzlies in history. So that'll be fun. Check that out. Make sure you go follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz so you can participate in the redrafting of all the Grizzlies. And make sure you go subscribe to the show in whatever podcast platform that you're using so you don't miss a show at all. And if you're in Apple iTunes, go leave a review, guys. 2 years ago, a guy left a review saying that he wanted Sean Coleman permanently on this show and Mark King gone. Well, he got half his wish. So if you leave a review, it might just halfway come true. So go leave a review. It really helps the show out. Helps us out in the iTunes rankings. Go subscribe.
You're an inspiration. You're an inspiration
to us all. Whoever you are out there, you're welcome, first of all. I took that to heart for 2 years. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, go leave a review. It really helps out the show. Go follow us on Twitter. Go follow Sean, go follow myself, and we will see you guys next time.
Have a great one.